radio listeners, and welcome to this program of the R.G. Hardy Ministries. As we come your way today proclaiming, yes, souls are crying and men are dying. Won't you help us to win the lost? This is Sister Sharon Knotts thanking you for tuning into the program today, and I know that you're going to be especially blessed by today's message by my father, Brother Hardy, the three foolish lovers. Paul wrote to Timothy that the last days would be perilous times, and he described 18 characteristics of the people who live in this age before the coming of Jesus Christ. And among them, he identified three foolish lovers, lovers of self, lovers of money, and lovers of pleasures. And he added, rather than lovers of God. This truly is a word of the Lord for us today. I'll be back at the end of the program to tell you how you can get a copy of this message, The Three Foolish Lovers.
But then I saw when we went to the top of the mountain to one of the missionaries that lived there, and when I saw people marching up the mountain, and I said, what are they doing? I said, they're going up to pray and fast. And I looked, and a lot of them had my magazine under their arm, and their face was shining. How many say amen? And God supplied their need, because when you go to these places that are poor, if they are Christians, you'll find out that God is supplying their need in their environment. You can't expect to be blessed when you don't have God. There is no blessings. The devil's out to destroy you. The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. How many say amen? The poor is going to stay poor until they get a hold of God, and then God is going to bring them into that middle group that their needs are always supplied when they need it. Let's see what happens to the guy full of riches. See if you want it. See if you want to be rich. Rich is having God. And when you got God, he'll make you rich in your pocket by giving you what you need. He'll make you rich in your body, that by his stripes you get healed and you have health. He'll satisfy your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like an eagle. How many say amen? To be rich is to be an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. To be full of the Holy Ghost and have the joy of the Spirit that's unspeakable and full of glory. And have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. How many say amen? And have an inheritance incorruptible undefiled that reserved in heaven. That's being rich, brother. Paul said he had nothing. He was like Jesus, but he possessed all things. He was rich. He could sing in the Philippi jailhouse. How many say amen? He could sing walking down the corridors to go out to get his head cut off. I fought a good fight. I kept the faith. Henceforth, there's a crown of righteousness laid up for me that the Lord shall give me in that day, and not only to me, but to all them that love his appearing. How many say amen? Hey, he went out rich. He went out victorious. He went out an overcomer. But the Bible said with Lazarus, the rich man died and woke up into hell in the flames of fire. He was so rich. But that greed had him so much that he wouldn't even give Ed Bigger a meal. One of the servants had to come out and shake out the tablecloth so he could eat the crumbs. The dogs had more mercy because they licked his wounds. Go to 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter and the 9th verse. I'm going to read the end of the 5th verse. It says, supposing that gain is godliness. Some people register how close you are to God by how much money you got. I mean, you get a bunch of preachers on a platform, and all of them with the big mega churches, and you got the little guy with the small church, but he loves the Lord and getting people saved, and they look down their nose at him. And all these mega churches are saying, how many we got? And we got to expand our church. They don't tell you how many souls they got saved, how much the power of God's moving in their midst. I got a couple amens. Supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. I wouldn't get on some people's platform if they sent a limousine to get me. I don't care if I'm not one of them. There's some satellite TVs. I don't want to be on their hookup. Okay, Peter and Paul said, preach the word. That's what I got to do here. I'm reading out of the word. Don't you get mad at me, what I'm saying. Because this ain't my message. I'm like Jesus, this is not my message, but his that sent me. But godliness, the sixth verse said, with contentment is great gain. And the Greek word there should have been translated with sufficiency. Godliness with sufficiency from God, which means having your needs supplied, is great gain. Great gain. I don't want riches without God. And if I got God, I'll have what I'll need. I mean, if I die right now, you could take and wash these clothes and put them on me, and they're good enough to bury me in. You won't see the pants anyhow. You won't even have to dry clean the coat there. And if I know the devil, he's up there propositioning God, saying, God, just kill him, I'll pay for his funeral. For godliness with having your needs supplied is great gain. You are rich, and you don't have any of the burdens and the problems with the excess of filthy lucre. You don't have to worry about anybody going to rob you. You ain't got enough to rob. You can eat a steak, and the rich got to eat Melva toast. 7 verse 4, we brought nothing in this world, and it's certain that we will take nothing out, only what we've done for Christ. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. The Greek word for raiment means cover, and it means not only clothes, but house. In other words, the necessities of life. If you've got the necessities of life, that's great gain. Be content. And in Paul's day, we need some things that they didn't need then. Not only food and clothing and a house, but we need an automobile. But it don't have to be a Rolls Royce. Something that's dependable. You couldn't give me a Jaguar. That's the worst record of repairs of any car at all, and they're taking it up the arm to get it fixed, and it's always going to be in the shop. Give it to the devil's folk. Give it to the rich man. He's got money to take care of it, Lord. Give your saints a good car. Amen? Be content. The devil's always trying to get you to, the Joneses got something. You got to go out, and I got to beat the Joneses. And the Joneses said, man, I ain't going to let that Christian beat me. I'm going to go out and get something else, and all you're doing is trying to outdo the other one. Caught up with all that stuff. Tell that again, sister. Got it right. And having food and covering, clothes and a roof over your head and the necessities of life, therewith be content. Now the 9th verse says, but they that will be, how many want to fall into a wallet of temptation? Do you want your life one temptation after another? Well, you don't want riches. Did you know that? You know, when you just got enough money to meet your bills and food and the normal things without any pressure on you, you're blessed. And you're not tempted to go out and buy a $30,000 ring that if you go in some neighborhood, you're going to lose your hand. You're going to cut it off. I don't care for jewelry. When I was young, I put on a brass bolt guy. A guy gave it to me. Of course, we used it, as you know. And man, my finger grew up at that big and I had to saw it off. I ain't never put nothing on my fingers. What am I going to do for all that jewelry? I'm going to have everybody come say, he must be rich. I got to go in there and hit him off. You read about those guys hit the lottery. Everybody and his brother's coming. He ain't got no rest knocking on the door, giving him a sad story. But they that will be rich, listen to what those that have become a lovers of their self and lovers of silver and gold and lovers of pleasure, listen to what will happen to them. They will fall into temptations and a snare. That you've opened a door with riches for the devil to tempt you to do things you'd have never done before and wouldn't have thought about. And it will be a snare. You're like an animal caught in a trap. He's trapped you. It's not a blessing. He tempted you. Let's take a Bible illustration of somebody that loved riches. When the church first in Acts, they all gave what they had and put it in a general pool and they gave it to the people that had need. But Ananias and Sapphira, they loved that money. And they wanted to have a pretense that they were doing right. And they put some in their pocket. You know, Ananias come in and Peter said, hey, did you give me all the money? Said, yeah, said, you're a liar. And he fell down dead. Then Sapphira come in and said, is it true that you and Your husband gave us all the money. Said, yes, and the feet of the ones that bury your husband is coming in now to bury you. And she fell down dead. And what happened to Judas? My God, help me, Jesus. Here he is, a picked disciple of the Lord. Here he is chosen to such a high office. Here he's chosen to have the power of God and do miracles. He was saved, brother, because nobody can cast out devils unless they're saved. And he was one of the 12 that had it. Somebody said he was a devil incarnate. Well, why did the devil kill himself? Why was he sorry and threw his money back? He was a devil, but he wasn't the devil. And what got him was the 30 pieces of silver. But Jesus was showing how much he had faith in him. He put him a treasure over the money, to saying, I got faith in you, you won't do wrong. But temptation got him. Got to have that money. And he figured out, I know how to do it. The devil says, all you got to do is take and betray him. And Jesus will do a miracle act. He'll be invisible and get out. And when it didn't happen, then Judas was stunned. He thought Jesus was going to get out. And he went to him and said, hey, here's your money. He threw it back at him. I betrayed innocent blood. And they said, who cares? You did it. See to it yourself. And he went out and hung himself, which means he put a stake up there and he ran and impaled himself on the stake and his entrails gushed out all over the ground. Because they didn't hang him with ropes. They hung him on a cross. Cursed is he that hangs on a tree. Fall into temptations and snares. The devil's got traps out there. You got away from him, but he can't stand that. You're detrimental to his kingdom. He's got to get you. You're a preacher, comes on in the beginning. You don't know nothing. You don't know nothing. God picks you up, fills you with the Holy Ghost, then begins to give you the power of God, and you begin to be an instrument in his hands to do signs, wonders, and miracles. And all of a sudden, the people start praising you, and your head gets big.
Amen. What a word in due season by Brother Hardy, the three foolish lovers. I know you have been arrested by the Holy Spirit to receive these words of admonition and wisdom for the last days. The time has come for you to ask yourself, what kind of lover am I? Am I a lover of self, a lover of money, a lover of pleasures, or am I truly a lover of God and the things of God? Because you and I can never be satisfied with the things of this world, because you cannot satisfy the immortal soul with mortal things. Jesus warned that it would be the love of money and the deceitfulness of lust and riches that would cause many of his own people to lose out. Yet so many ignore this warning and heap to themselves teachers who preach a gospel of greed. Paul said they count gain as godliness. To them, the fact that they are prospering is proof that they are blessed of God. But Paul said, turn away from these, because it is godliness with contentment. It is godliness with the sufficiency of your needs supplied that is great gain. Where is your treasure? Jesus said, where your treasure is, your heart is. He did not say, where your heart is, your treasure is, because your heart follows your treasure. You need this complete message. And for a love offering of $10 or more for the radio ministry, you can receive it on audio tape or CD. Ask for offer number 305T for tape or 305CD for CD. Write to Brother Hardy, P.O. Box 1744, Baltimore, Maryland 21203. Remember, for three foolish lovers, ask for 305T for tape or 305CD for CD, and send your love gift of $10 or more to Brother Hardy, P.O. Box 1744, Baltimore, Maryland 21203.